enjoy it very much. The messages that we've heard this morning and this afternoon, and it's just such a blessing to be here with you. I'm always encouraged by all of the young folks that are here. And before we get into the message, I'd like to read just a few verses, and these are primarily for the young folks that are here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And then verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yesterday, Brother Jim Plummer and I thought that we would take the quick way of getting here by flying from Baltimore to Nashville and then driving over to Memphis. There were two bandloads of folks, primarily young folks and their parents, that left and actually drove all the way from Baltimore and New Jersey. And they arrived a day earlier than what we did. And so we didn't quite get it figured out correctly. But on the way down here, we talked to Brother Mark Humes on the telephone. And he said, "Listen." And he held up the cell phone. And in the background of the van, he said, "Listen to the angels singing." And it was the young folks singing hymns of praise as they were traveling down the road. Young folks are a great blessing to those of us that are older, but especially to each other. When I grew up in the church, I don't remember the young folks like you have right here. And sadly, there's a lot of places that we could go that there are not young folks in the church. First of all, the parents are to be encouraged and commended in the Lord for training up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But you folks right here, you may not ever realize the encouragement and the building up and the bond that you have with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Just recently, I was made aware of one young person that didn't accept their first job because they were going to have to work on Sunday. And just immediately, the Lord opened the door for another job. That ought to be an encouragement to other young folks. Just heard a report and wished that I had been there of a group of young folks that were fellowshipping at Cracker Barrel the other day. And somehow they started singing hymns, and the employees at Cracker Barrel wouldn't give them their receipts so they could pay and leave because they wanted them to continue singing hymns of praise. When I heard that, I thought, oh, I wish I'd have been there with them. May God bless you to be an encouragement to one another and hold each other up. We are living in wicked days. But I'm so encouraged by the testimony of the young folks. You shine much more brighter in the darker times. And may God bless you to be a shining light in the area in which you live. I'd like to speak to you out of Exodus, one verse out of Exodus, chapter 15. I enjoyed very much studying this portion of some of the aspects of God out. And may God bless us as we look at what some of His scriptures have to say about His holiness, about the holiness of God. In Exodus chapter 15, this is the song that Moses and the children of Israel are declaring after a great deliverance. Isn't it amazing how that we have a heart to sing after we've experienced a great deliverance from the Lord? These brethren have preached to us this morning and this afternoon about the difficult times that we have in life and the trials and the infirmities that we have in life. And oftentimes the Lord is merciful to bless us and to deliver us in those times. And doesn't it bring forth a song of praise and a song of thanksgiving about the deliverance of Almighty God? Well, right here, the children of Israel had just been delivered, and they're declaring praise to Almighty God. And it comes on down, and in verse 11, he says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness?" Can I ask you, who is like unto thee? Who is like unto God? Is there any God that you can think of that is like the one true and living God? He says right here, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee?" First of all, he says, "Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretched out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them." He is declaring the awesome power and the holiness of Almighty God. Again, in Isaiah, it is addressed again in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. "To whom will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith who?" The Holy One. Who can you compare God to? Who is he likened unto? You can go into Hosea chapter 11, verse 9. And he says, "I am God and not man." All that we can think of, all that we can compare to, is those that are around us, is man, natural man. But God says, "I am God, I am not man, saith the Holy One." What is holiness? Holiness is perfection. It requires perfection. And God is holiness. That is not only an attribute of God, but holiness is God, and God is holiness. He, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, he describes his work, the works of Almighty God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He says, "He is the rock, and his work is perfect." Is there any that you can conclude around you that is perfect? Is there anything that is perfect? Only God is perfect. He is the rock. He is perfect. His work is perfect. "For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." Here he says, "He is the rock." Can I ask you, what is your rock? What is it that you lean on? Do you depend upon your own strength? Do you depend upon your own ability? Do you depend upon your own success? Or do you depend upon the one true and living God? He is our rock. He is our strength. He is the Holy One. Psalms chapter 99, verse 9. "Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Every aspect of God is holy. God is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. And then certainly the Spirit is declared as the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, who came upon this earth and was yet in all flesh tempted like as we are, yet Jesus Christ is the only one that's completely perfect and without sin. He says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." He establishes his church, and his church is a holy place. Some of you may have heard of the Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn. I think that was a little before my time. He spent some time in Washington, D.C. Elder Compton tells the story that he went back home to a little meeting house, old Baptist meeting house in Texas. And after the Lord had dealt with him, he wanted to follow in baptism. They said this man who has large buildings, at least one and possibly more, named after him, who was just a few positions below the President of the United States, who had tremendous influence and tremendous power in our government, who has a tremendous legacy. This man went to the humble building, and in the back of the building, he took his shoes off to walk up to the front and seek a home in the church. And he said, "This is holy ground." The Lord's house is a holy place. Why is it? It's because it's His house. A lot of respect for the Lord's house. A lot of come to the Lord's house with thanksgiving. A lot of come to the Lord's house with a heart to worship and serve the Lord. Most especially, we ought to come to the Lord's house desiring and praying that the Lord would meet with us in His house. When the Lord is there, it's a holy place. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Psalm chapter 145, verse 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways." You ever question some of the ways of God? He says He's righteous in all His ways. So maybe I don't understand some of the workings of God or some of the workings of God even in my life. But He says right here that the Lord is righteous in all His ways. And He says, and holy or perfect in all His works. Should we not just praise Him for His ways and His works? Should we not question His works, but simply praise Him for His works, praise Him for His hand, praise Him for His deliverance? And recognize that He's righteous in all His ways. And that He's holy in all His works. When in Hebrews chapter 6, when the Lord Jesus Christ was promising, giving the promise to Abraham, when the Lord was promising to Abraham the covenant, it says that He did swear by Himself. I wonder why He tells us. Because there's none greater. Amos chapter 4 and also chapter 6 tells us that He did swear by His holiness. Can I tell you that our hope of living in glory someday, our hope of our sins being forgiven, has to be in the perfection and in the holiness of Almighty God. He's perfect. He is holy. Isaiah tells us that we're to sanctify the Lord. If the Lord's dealt with you, you know something about yourself. You may be saying, how in the world could someone such as I add to the holiness of Almighty God? You can't. God is holiness. God is perfection. God is righteousness. He abhors, He hates sin. And you say, how could someone such as I know something about myself. How could someone such as I come before Almighty God and sanctify the Lord God?
in Ezekiel, he tells us about a change that takes place with us. Ezekiel chapter 36. He says in verse 35, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Psalms 51 addresses that clearly. "Wash me thoroughly, make me clean, create in me a new heart, a clean heart, O God." Sometimes Satan would lay some of your sins to your charge. You might be thinking back in your life and you think, "Well, I can understand that many of my sins have been forgiven, but there's some big sins in my life. And I wonder if those have been paid for." Here he says in Ezekiel, he says, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you, a new heart." How is it that we can praise God at all? How is it that we can worship Him in His holiness? We need a heart operation. Sometimes you hear folks having heart surgery. Sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not. But can I tell you that when the Lord does a heart operation, it's successful 100% of the time. His success rate is 100%. And here he says, he takes this heart. He says, "I will, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." We're in need of a heart operation. And he takes that old cold, stony heart out of us, and he puts a new heart within us. And with that new heart, we're able not to add to His holiness, but we're able to declare His holiness. He gives you a heart that you can understand a little bit about Him. And what little bit you understand, you want to know more about Him. He gives you a heart that shows you who you are, and you abhor that, but yet there's something within the inward man that's within. Paul tells us the outward man perishes, but that inward man, it's renewed. My, can't you see that all around? Sometimes you can experience it in your own life. You live long enough, you realize that the outward man does begin to perish. But my, how that inward man shines forth. He changes our heart. He gives us a heart to where we can praise Him. And we can recognize His holiness. And we can declare His holiness. When you come together and sing hymns of praise, you're certainly not declaring your own righteousness. But when we join our voices, whether it's in the Lord's house, whether it's in the back of a van, whether it's in the hospital around the bedside of a loved one, you're there simply declaring the holiness of Almighty God. What a blessing that He would take sinners such as we are and allow us such an awesome privilege here. Isn't that something? We're told that when we get to heaven, we'll be able to declare it. But isn't it a real blessing that right now, here, we can already just appreciate and enjoy that right now? There isn't that just, it must be just a foretaste of what's to come. To be able to declare the holiness of Almighty God. He says, "A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Well, certainly the only way that we can keep His judgments and do them
is that He puts His Spirit within us. If His Spirit's not within us, we're not going to have a desire to do His judgments or keep His judgments at all. John chapter 1, I believe it's verse 17, says that it's of His fullness that He gives us. His fullness. His holiness. His righteousness. You see, we don't have any righteousness of ourselves. Any righteousness that we have is really and truly His righteousness. That He gives us, that He plants within us, any holiness that we have in our life, any ability to praise Him and to recognize His holiness, is what He blesses us with here in this life. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, he says, there's one thing that he desires of the Lord. Young folks, can I tell you that there's going to be a lot of things that come your way that's going to try to grab your desires. A lot of things. A lot of decisions that you're going to have to make. A lot of challenges you'll face. If you can remember this, and if God would bless you to keep it in perspective and put it all in perspective, of what the psalmist says right here. He says, there's one thing that I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. He says, I desire to, first of all, dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Can I tell you, the church is not just for us when we get down to old age. We look forward to and enjoy some of the services that are held up in New York State. Share with you that there's going to be a service in August, the first weekend, in Roxbury, New York. It's been many years since they've had regular services at the meeting house up there. Little meeting house up in the Catskill Mountains. Fourth weekend of September, there's going to be another service, Lord willing, in Shokan, New York. Last year, a sister came and she shared with us. She said, this is the only place that I know that I can go in this area and hear a message out of God's Word. Pray that the Lord might open doors of opportunity up there. There's hungry folks in that area. But while we were at one of these services, we were told that there was a lady down the street, and she was up in years, and we were told that her grandfather was an old Baptist minister. And so we went to her house, and we knocked on the door, and we were all excited about having an opportunity to meet her. And she came to the door, and she said, so you all are the old Baptists that are in town. She said, I have to tell you, I have a problem with the old Baptist. She said, when I was young, the children were not encouraged at all in the church. She said, they say they don't believe in Sunday schools or other entities for the young folks, but she says, there was never encouragement in my family at all. And that the church was a place for grown-ups. And the children were not regarded at all. And now, the churches are no longer there. You know she was right. I ought to thank the Lord for the young folks. He says right here, one thing have I desired of the Lord. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. If there's something that you desire strongly in your life, you're going to seek after it. You had a great desire to be here today. Many of you traveled a great distance to come here and worship the Lord. But he says right here, he says, one thing that I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, from your youth until old age. The house of the Lord is for the child of God. What better place can you take your children than to the house of God? The very first place that you ought to take them when they come home from the hospital is to the church of Jesus Christ. I've had the privilege of carrying some of the newborns into the church building the first time that they were there. What a blessing. In fact, I think there's one or two of you here in the congregation. What a blessing. There is no place else on this earth that you can have your family, you can have your children, than the church of Jesus Christ. And he says, I desire that all the days of my life. Don't ever get too old to go to church. Elder Compton's 100-plus years old, and he wanted to be here so bad. And probably considered going against better judgment to come. He wanted to be here in the place. And I thought, what a blessing to be 100-plus and still serving the Lord. About a month ago, he baptized a young sister that he had baptized her parents 20-plus years before. Oh, what a blessing. If you're someone 100 years old, still going strong, serving the Lord. He says, I want to live in the Lord's house all the days of my life. Why is that? Because in the Lord's house with the Lord's people, you can come together and you can hear about His holiness, but you can also declare His holiness together. He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord. What a blessing when God showers His blessing, when He opens the very windows of heaven and He pours His blessings upon us, and we can behold the very beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My, how He pours out His blessings upon us during this life. The psalmist also says, oh, magnify the Lord. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that it's his desire, whether it be by life or by death, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. To acknowledge and to declare His holiness. Now, some folks will tell you that when we pass from this life, that there's sort of a holding area for our souls until the resurrection day. And that they're just some substance that's there until the resurrection day. But Paul tells us that to depart and be with Christ, he says right now, is far better. Your soul has the ability, after you pass from this life, to praise God. Those that have gone on to be with the Lord, certainly it's sad from our perspective oftentimes. But if you could understand what they're experiencing right now, that even their soul is able to praise God, that their soul is in the midst of the angels that are gathered round about the throne of God, singing praises to Almighty God, declaring the holiness of Almighty God. In Isaiah says in chapter 6, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. There's praise that's being given right now before the throne of God. The holiness of God is being declared right now. Oh, John tells us in Revelation, he tells us, worthy is the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 15 declares the holiness of God. And then someday, on that great resurrection day, he tells us that we're going to be able to see him with these eyes. With these bodies. You might be thinking, well, I don't know if I want this body there. I know I have some problems with this body the way it is right now. By the way, he refers to this body as a holy temple. We ought to be real mindful about how we take care of this body. We ought to. You may say, it doesn't matter how I take care of this body. It does, because it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. We ought to be mindful of it. But with these very bodies, He's going to call us forth and we're going to be able to declare His holiness. Isn't it amazing that He takes sinners such as we are and He gives us a little taste of it right here. He gives us a little bit of the earnest of what we have coming, of what we're going to experience when all the saints of God are gathered around. We enjoyed a few weekends ago a wonderful meeting in Wisconsin. Those folks were up there, not a whole lot of other folks gathered around them. And one sister wrote back and she said, we enjoy the meeting so much, but we regret so much when folks have to depart and when it's over and they have to go home. Well, there's a day coming that we're not going to have to experience that. We're going to understand more completely about the fullness and the holiness of Almighty God. And we're going to be changed. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that these mortal bodies are going to be changed, fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that these bodies are going to be changed, and with our body and with our soul, we're going to be able to praise His holiness forever and ever. Won't be any sad goodbyes. We won't have to sing that song, My Christian Friends in Bonds of Love, declare the parting hand. But we'll be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but more especially than that, we'll be in the very presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who paid the price that we couldn't pay. And we'll have the ability to recognize and to praise His holiness. Glorious is His holiness. May God bless you.